roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry? Then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? You are tuned in the newest edition of the Punch List MMA Podcast. It's your boy Dale living in here with Trey Van Buskirk. Dude, I'm cheesing big time. I got the dimples going on, man. What's up?
Probably your background, dude. How are you doing that?
Why am I doing that? Because, bro, I want the smoke. This is how you make the millions of dollars. You fight YouTubers. I want everybody, man. You give me anybody on YouTube. I want the chicks doing the makeup tutorials. I want the Paul brothers. I want all the skinny kids with the feminine features doing TikTok dances. I want them all. I want everybody. I want paid. I will lay on the ground face down like Nate Robinson for that kind of money, man. That's what I want. That's the motivation. That's my why right there.
Oh man, all the smoke but no price tag.
I want it, man. I want it. All right, bro. How is everything? You good?
I'm good. I'm jacked, dude. This is a big episode. I'm pumped. We've got Boston's finest heading in here. It's a big day.
It's a good show. I think we're gonna have a great show. I'm pretty excited about it. When I say pretty excited, I'm trying to downplay it a little bit. I don't want to fangirl out too much. Try to get it all out of the way now. Mm-hmm. You know, I know. Listen, I read the comments. I know how people feel about it when I get too fired up. So I'm gonna try to keep it calm, cool, and collected. Pay some bills real quick. Shout out to Stay Classy Meats with this episode of the Punchless MMA Podcast. Stay Classy Meats made this interview possible. Stay Classy Meats has partnered up with Calvin and said, hey, man, if you're working with me, you got to work with our boys, and they're making it happen. So you can go to Stay Classy Meats. You use the promo code FIST to save 10% off your entire order. Best meat on the planet Earth, man. You get no complaints from me when it comes to this stuff.
No, absolutely not. The only complaints you can get is with lack of preparation. Guys, obviously, we just passed Black Friday, Cyber Monday. You still have an opportunity to take advantage of great discounts out there. One I'm going to give you to one of the greatest clothing brands out there in AllegianceClothing.com. Go to AllegianceClothing.com. You're going to get 15% off site-wide. All their new tees, their hats, their windbreakers, all that cool shit. Deck out your family. Deck the halls. AllegianceClothing.com. You utilize the code PUNCH. You're going to get 15% off site-wide.
It's weird that you said deck out family too, because a lot were coming off of Thanksgiving. How was Thanksgiving in your household? Did you get into the cops weren't called, right?
The cops were not called.
Okay. Okay.
Politics, religion, all the no-nos stayed at bay.
Okay.
You know, the Dallas Cowboys played their hearts out. It was good, man. Everything was gravy.
Okay. It was gravy. Okay.
Yeah. Excellent. How was yours?
It was good, man. I mean, listen, admittedly, sometimes my family, at least, you know, my up north family, it's not really a holiday unless there's the potential for a fist fight or the police being called. Since moving down here, South Carolina, things slow down a little bit. You know what I mean? We get that nice, slow, steady pace down here, keeping it, you know, we're taking it easy right now. So I'm excited, man. Thanksgiving, as you know, is my holiday. Thanksgiving and 4th of July. Those are my 2 days of the year. So, you know what it is? I'm a thankful dude, and they both revolve around the idea of being thankful. So,
you're thankful that no one was involved in your day. You were on the couch, gravy in your beard, beer in hand. You were thankful no one walked in the room. You were solely focused on yourself. So you were thankful for the time of seclusion or isolation. That's what you were.
Yeah. I mean, admittedly, yeah, that was a bit of it for sure. Yeah. That's a good part of it. But yeah, I was thankful for that. And it was just, listen, it's good now to be around family. So, we have a big show ahead of us here. You know, we got Calvin T minus probably 5 minutes, so we can break down, let's talk about this card that just happened last weekend real quick before we jump in to anything related to this upcoming week.
I know. I just have to say this, though. Being that we do have Calvin Kattar coming on, mm-hmm. I have been able to utilize his name to justify so much shit today.
Yeah.
Breakfast beer. My wife looks down. What are you doing? Drinking. It's 10 a.m. Kattar. Forgot to pick up my sister-in-law at the airport. Trey, what up? Kattar. There's so much, because this is such a big deal and such an awesome person to have introspective of what's going on in the featherweight division. But to your point, sorry, I just had to get that off my chest. I'm justifying my drink. I hope you have your drink. Big episode.
Well, you already know this because we talked about it in the lobby prior to. I'm not drinking tonight. I have water, so.
Okay, there's the real ones. Everyone knows the real ones.
Says the guy that drank seltzer last episode. So you know what? Let's get it together. Real quick, let's not talk about the UFC card on Saturday night. Let's talk about the man that's sleeping behind me here, Nate Robinson. Nate Robinson, Jake Paul, exhibition boxing match, if you will. Spoiler alert: Nate went to sleep. That was obviously, probably, in my opinion, the more telling storyline of the weekend. However, there was another fight outside of that. A guy by the name of Mike Tyson fought another gentleman by the name of Roy Jones Jr. What did you think of the fight? Are we cool with guys that are in their 50s fist fighting? Where do we fall on this?
Tyson looked great. Roy looked great. That was an unbelievable fight. I know, obviously, boxing did. You don't think so? Mm-mm. Okay, well, I think you are a little bit jaded by the marketing that was put out prior to that. Obviously, they airbrushed the shit out of Tyson. He definitely didn't come in with that six pack. Neither did, Roy Jones. But they came in with their swift movements, their counters. They looked fast for being 54 and 51, respectively.
Okay, all right, I'll give you that.
I thought it was a really good fight. I think the only thing that really put a bad taste in my mouth is how corrupt boxing is within itself, calling that shit a draw.
It was always going to be a draw. And this is where I get mad at myself from a betting perspective, that we should have played the draw. I've been preaching from time immemorial when they announced that fight. I went big on Roy Jones Jr. just because he'd fought 3 years ago. Tyson hadn't fought in almost 16 years. I went big on Roy. I got him at a plus 185. I felt really great at that.
Yeah.
I went big on him. It was always going to be a draw, though. The more I think about it, it was always set up to be that way. They went an even number of rounds. They had celebrity or guest judges or whatever you want to call Chad Dawson and Vinny Paz. I forget who the other guy was. All the makings were there for them to just say it was a draw. And then they kept announcing there wasn't going to be a real winner. The writing was on the wall, plus 800. I was so mad at myself. I didn't take it. I personally am not a big fan of 54 and 51 year old men punching each other in the face. But that being said, if you're 54, you're 51, you are a grown ass man. You do what you want to do. And I think Tyson made $10 million. Roy Jones Jr. made somewhere around $4 million. That's not even counting pay-per-view points. Those dudes made a bundle, as the young kids say, they secured the bag and didn't have to, really take a whole lot of damage. They got in there. They got to move around. They got to break a sweat. Tyson primarily threw body shots with the occasional ill-intentioned left hook. And Roy still looked pretty sneaky fast with the jab. I mean, he doesn't have hand speed like I have hand speed, but it was pretty close. It was pretty close.
Yeah, I think all that aside, though,
myself to Roy Jones Jr.
I don't even care. I've heard you do way worse. Did the co-main event usurp the main event, though?
In my opinion, as far as from a viral impression standpoint, absolutely. Absolutely. Nate Robinson's got to move. They should have put a stipulation on it that if this happened, right? If that happened, you got to move. You got to go. You've got to go. You can't be here anymore. You got to go. My man was talking so much trash, Trey. He's like, I'm doing it for the culture. I'm doing it for my kids. I'm doing it for my mom. I'm doing it for my mom's mom's mom.
And yeah.
Listen, I respect anybody. I respect anybody that gets in there and puts themselves out there. Like, right. I'm not discounting Nate. He went out there and he tried his proverbial best and got in a fist fight and suffered, he suffered a knockout loss. When you go in there and you're punching people in the face, that happens. Like that being knocked out can happen. He went into that knowing that could have happened. And he still chose to make that walk. I mean, obviously money helped a little bit, but he still chose to make that walk and he suffered the consequences for it. And for that, For whatever it means, Nate Robinson has my respect. He put himself out there. Now, that being said, I don't believe he was adequately prepared. And when you are not adequately prepared, you get results like that. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is, man. You know what I mean? So anyway.
Absolutely brutal. It was a lifeless child body just laying right there in the center of the ring.
They could have stopped it after the first one. They could have stopped it after they could have stopped it after the first knockdown. I'm going to be honest with you. The lobby just kicked in live, and there is something happening. Jake, get him in here before whatever's going on changes.
Dude. Yes.
Hey, what's up, boys?
It's exactly how I imagined it.
I know, man. My day is so crazy right now. I'm all over the place. You guys having me on, though.
Yeah. Bro, this could not have gone any better. So
I mean, you guys came with some strong backgrounds yourself.
That's we're coming out swinging, man. We're coming out swinging. So what's going on? Are we getting a little massage action? What are we doing?
I got a little PT. TK, she comes 3 times a week, helps me, recover between sessions because we know how, crazy this sport can get.
Right. So how are we feeling? I mean, what's going on? I mean, obviously, look, biggest fight, in my opinion, this one's got my full and undivided attention. This is the fight to make as far as featherweights are concerned, man. I mean, how are we feeling? You got to be jazzed up, man.
Yeah, feeling great. I've been, going hard since, pretty much all year with that Stevens fight. We were scheduled to fight in March. They pushed it back to April. Then it became May. So I was in camp, from then, and then the quick turnaround after May to July. And then here we are now with the big opportunity, January, I believe, 16th.
16th, man. That's it. I'm excited for you as far as the fights to make, as far as the featherweight division is concerned. This was it, man. And I can be critical of the UFC and their matchmaking at times, but I think they hit this one.
Same. Man. It's good to see the division move around a little bit now. It's been stagnant for a while, and I'm just happy to see some pieces moving around. Champ wants contenders, but he doesn't want ones that are just sitting around waiting for opportunities to come to them. He wants guys to go out and earn it, and that's what I'm trying to do.
As far as I'm concerned, especially because what we do here is we focus on betting from a betting perspective. Man, this is it, bro. I mean, this is, in my opinion, probably gonna be one of the last times that we're able to get you at plus money. So
I like it, man. It's all made a killing up to now, but I like the underdog rule.
It suits you well. It suits you well. So let me ask you, obviously being a world champion is the primary motivation, but let's dig a little bit deeper into that. I mean, you've been doing this for a while, some ups, some downs, and you're finally getting your just due. If you had to get real deep on it, real right off the rip, what's the motivation, man? What are we striving for outside of the championship?
Yeah. I mean, just trying to provide a better life, man. I'm chasing the life on the win side of a Max Holloway fight.
Okay.
Things just get better off a win, and I got a lot of strong reasons, man, why I fight. Family being, number one, and just by any means necessary. It's not the easiest way to get it done, but it's what I'm good at, and by any means, man, I'm not gonna sit on the sidelines, man, while my dreams are right in front of me,
I got you. Let me ask you this: after a fight, you get that W. Who's the first person that you text or call, or that texts or calls you after a fight?
I'll tell you who's the only one that hits me up after a loss is my family. So, but after a win, who knows, man? It blows up. It's pretty crazy.
Right. That's good. Listen, I'm pumped for you.
In this social area, I mean, it seems like you've actually stayed pretty far away from like your social channels. Like you're really kind of, you take your time with it and you're not just blasting and being super communicative all the time. When you're kind of in your own space, is it just because you don't like to be on social too much, or are you just trying to hone in and know like, hey, this is massive in front of me and it's full steam ahead?
Yeah, it's definitely, full steam ahead with Max. It is important to try to go out and promote yourself, but I try not to get lost in it, man. Just it's a black hole, the internet's hilarious and it could keep your attention a lot longer than it needs to, but as far as posting a lot, I try to stay off the damn thing, but every now and then it's good to keep engagement with the fans, and it's a good opportunity for me to like get messages from people all over the world or otherwise, to just reaching out and saying good things. I like to interact. Lately I've been trying to just schedule the time and be better with it. Basically on Sundays when I have some time, maybe just answer some questions, send out, be more interactive on Sundays maybe with some of the guys.
See, maybe that's where our lines have gotten crossed, because Trey and I take Sundays off completely. We're usually so spent after Saturday nights, we're usually radio silent all day Sunday. Not to mention, I continually just lose my ass on betting on football just nonstop, man. It's been an absolute nightmare. The Patriots killed me this week, by the way.
Oh, man, it's tough. Hey, where are you out of? Where are you guys out of, by the way?
So, Trey,
go ahead, I'm in San Diego.
I'm in Charleston. Yeah. So.
Okay. All right. Nice.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I lived in Rhode Island, so I have a bunch of friends from Boston. So I was waiting for you to come on and say like Wicked and shit like that to make me like bring me back to that time, right. You know?
Yeah. No, I try to not stand out to where it comes out organically. You know how it is. But, yeah. It's that's really awesome.
I'm going to try my best. We have this thing where every time I'm around somebody that has an accent that's different than mine, for whatever reason, my lizard brain goes, oh, you can sound like that too. So I'll inevitably probably end up saying Wicked or Bubba or something. It's going to happen.
Drop the R's.
It's going to.
R's are not vocabulary.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So Stay Classy kind of put this whole thing together, yeah. Man. If I'm not mistaken, Scott sent you out a box of meat and all that kind of good stuff, right? Or it's on the way?
He's the man. I got to hear the whole background of the company. Really excited to be involved with them. And they got they hooked us up with a nice sample package. And my brother's a good chef, man. He chefed it up, and we were blown away. So, but more about their mission statement, you know, I like where they're going, man. I'm excited to be working with them.
I heard you're all about that tomahawk steak, dude. I heard you all about that.
Yeah, it sucks, man. On this fight camp shit, I can only have about 4 ounces, you know? So it's
so, dude, that's what I wanted to ask. Like, dude, having a fight in January has got to be like, and this is from a casual perspective, it's got to be the worst time ever because you got Thanksgiving, yeah. You got Christmas. New Year's, like, how do you stay away from? Are you not like much of a foodie, or you're like able to keep it conservative? Or
no, I'm a big foodie, man. It's tough, but I used to back locally. I wouldn't even fight around these days of the dates. And I own a promotion in New Hampshire that I run events every year, 4 times a year, and I make sure I book every year the weekend before Thanksgiving for that reason. You know, for the guys, because it's always like a celebratory post fight next week's Thanksgiving. So I make sure to do that just because I know how bad it sucks, you know, have to give up the holidays for a fight, especially locally. You're not getting paid a ton, you know, not the biggest opportunity generally, but and it's just a little more distraction, you know. But lately I've been looking at it as maybe a competitive edge. First of all, I don't like to turn down big moment opportunities. You know, we make those happen. And secondly, now it's an advantage where maybe my opponent, you know, might slip up a little bit more around the holidays. So I get, I dig deeper knowing that, you know, he might cheat and things. So I spin it now as a positive.
Yeah, right. Some extra gravy. Yeah.
Well, we all know that Max likes to eat. So that 145
cupcakes out here.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's a big thing. And then
that's
Rob's got a big fight
coming up.
Right.
Yeah. Rob's a beast, man. He's taking on Marlon Moraes, another top contender in the division, but. I'm telling you, coming off an ACL injury and being out for a year, I don't know how this kid does it, man, but he finds a way to improve even physically when he can't, you know, get the reps in. Mentally, he's a student of the game, and he's going to go off December 19th.
He's that's you know, like I said, from a betting perspective, I want to get your give me some behind the scenes here, man, because
I'm scoop, man.
I'm seeing him as an underdog. What are we looking at here?
Shit, cartel picks. We're gonna have to come out with it.
Okay,
picks for the fight. Small percent, small, right. Small, big.
Okay, I like it. I can get on board with that. We'll carve out a little niche for you.
All right, yeah, but Rob fun all day, man. He looks too good, and he's hungry, man. He's motivated. He's looking great in the gym, and I already know, man. He's gonna go out and do his thing.
Excellent. So you commented on my picture behind me, and then you were saying that
you seen those fights, man?
I want your opinion. You just said you own a promotion. Bring me into your realm here. What do we think here?
Was it Snoop that Snoop's a part owner of Thriller, right?
He may have been.
He has to be. He's commenting.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah, that was atrocious.
Him, man, put it together. I mean, from his standpoint, I'm sure they did well, but that internet one with Jake Paul, I kind of talked some shit on him, but because how can't you with the way, you know, even after his fight, calling out the guy he's calling, it's a little crazy, right? But I don't like to hate on people, especially I found out he's 23 years old. and he's trying to be an up-and-coming fighter. I get it. But when you're beating up NBA guys, you can't, you know, you can't really be that cocky. But that being said, I heard the NBA guy called him out.
A bunch.
You know, it's like I felt like I kind of threw some shade at Jake feeling cocky that he beat up an NBA guy. But really, you know, at the end of the day, if he was getting called out, he took care of business, but I would still be that excited over a win over an NBA guy, you know?
Well, I mean, Dale and I just talked about this. His callouts were so gnarly. Like one, obviously Connor, crazy boxer. He's not going to call out you, crazy boxer, but he calls out Ben Askren, no boxing. Dylan Danis, no boxing. Yeah. So at least he, for a moment in time.
He's
smarter than he looks. He's 23 though. So you never know.
Yeah, hey, that's the thing. 23 years old, man. I was a pretty crazy 23-year-old myself, you know. But I mean, at the end of the day, if he aspires to be a boxer, if he's taking the shit serious, cool. But if he's doing it for the gimmicks, then get him out of here.
I was a big fan of it. I was telling anybody with a set of ears that I thought he was going to knock out Nate Robinson personally. Nate blocked me on Instagram like a year and some change ago. Yeah. He posted something and I commented on it. We had a brief back and forth and then he blocked me and I was like, you're dead to me forever now, man. So then as soon as they announced the fight, you know, I have no idea who Jake Paul is on the planet Earth, but I was like, this YouTube kid, he better knock him out. And then I saw when he was actually taking boxing fairly serious, you as a guy with unbelievable hands, you know that like you get bitten by the boxing bug, it changes things, man. And he seems to be a guy that takes it pretty seriously.
Exactly.
If you're Nate Robinson and you're just training because you think you're going to fight a guy versus a guy that's really kind of dedicating himself to a craft like boxing, there's going to be a skill disparity there. And I think that was on display on Saturday night. Nate got pieced up, man. And I made some money off of it. I'm okay with it.
You didn't feel bad a little after the fight?
Oh no, I felt bad during the fight. They could have stopped it after the first knockdown.
They really could. That first one was serious. I couldn't even believe he recovered, because I don't really think he did until the round, you know, went to the second round.
Yeah.
But he was coming into a lot of shots, man, and he just stepped back at him and overhand on the way in. Anytime you get a guy coming into your shot, it's like a car crash, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to see the guy get damaged. I don't want to see him get hurt like permanently. I mean, you know, he suffered three concussions on Saturday night. I mean, those were, he got hit bad. Those were hard.
No, he looks cuts. Like behind you, dude. He looks like a model for like a sleep train mattress thing right there. Best night's sleep ever, man. Look at that little body.
I can use a night of sleep like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So what do you think of Mike and Roy Jones? What do we think of that?
Mike and Roy Jones, I would have liked Roy to stay in the pocket a little more and kind of exchange more, but I can see why he didn't. He fought smart. Tyson came in, looked for it, kind of what you thought it'd be, but they, it was entertaining for what it was, you know. It was something to watch, and I don't know how many more of those that we continue to watch. I'm hearing Holyfield coming out, you know. I'm all for it, for the one and done maybe, or, you know, the comeback and things, but I don't know. I'll probably watch that one too.
Yeah. I mean, Shannon Briggs was coming out of the woodwork. And then we had, you know, there's rumors of Holyfield. Like all these guys are going to try to come back, it sounds like. So be interested to see what happens. They're talking about a Legends Only League. So I'd like to see a Legends Only League in MMA, to be honest with you. But I think that's just Bellator now at this point.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, good point. they were talking about maybe Anderson Silva, Roy Jones. I mean, I guess spectacles are always, but you're going to get some, you know, amount of people to watch, but I prefer the you know, highest level of competition, guys competing for the belt, and you know, fights like that. Ideally, those get my attention the most. You know, guys that don't want to see those O's go, or just, you know, gunning for the top, hungry. You know,
yeah,
I like to see the guys that are hungry fighting.
Yeah.
So being an outstanding boxer like yourself, Calvin, like I think a lot of people up to this week, knowing you were going to be on One to Know, underrated is your elbows. I mean, we saw that in the Jeremy Stephens fight. When you're in the clinch and you're able to land those, knowing that all fighters like Max Holloway is going to know you're going to be coming in with great boxing, like how much more emphasis are you putting on like the Muay Thai, like working in clinch, or are you just kind of saying, hey, I know what I'm freaking radical at. I'm just going to stay at it and, you know, go as hard, you know, full throttle. What are you
radical? I like it. You picked that one up in San Diego though.
I was going to go Wicked, dude, but it's not going to come out organic. Okay, I guess a Wicked Hard, dude. Your Wicked Hard elbows.
Oh my God.
Anytime you can make them think about something else in there, anytime you can make them think in general, they're moving a little slower, you know? So giving them something more to think about other than the boxing, you know, the elbows and kicks even, takedowns. Like I said, it's mixed martial arts. It's just I try to a lot of times hit them with these guys are chiming in with the questions. I like it. That's a good question. What's the money line on one of us landing a kick first?
Listen, if there isn't one, we'll make action on it. I'm cool with it. We can do.
That's a good one. I think I know a guy, man. Talk to me.
We
might have to adjust the game plan a little bit.
Listen, we've made lines on outfits that Laura Sanko was going to wear on Contender Series. We will bet on anything. You can't come up with something we won't bet on.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, that's good. So, I mean, obviously, you know what you do well. We all know what Max does well. Let me ask you some default journalistic style questions. I mean, you're obviously not going to take the fight if you don't think you can win, but where do you think you're going to excel in this matchup? Where do you think that you have the advantage and you're going to be able to exploit them?
Honestly, I think just going to go out and just try to put my hands on them, man, and see what happens. You know, I've done that with the last few guys, and it's worked out pretty well. So, we'll start out phase one, see how we do on the feet. And, he likes the volume punch, and I like to take guys out, you know, so we'll see who gets who stand up off.
Because of the volume punching, and I always want to ask you this because it's one of those things where – I don't know if I'm just, it's my perception coming off on it or not, but it seems like you get frustrated with it. Every fight, somebody seems to target your nose, man. And the moment that nose gets hurt or gets touched, it's like a switch. It's like almost like Stallone and Over the Top. It's like a switch gets
flipped. I know, man.
What's going on with that? Do you get frustrated mid fight? Like, stop.
No, I mean, it's part of the game, man. I just got to move my friggin' head more. It's like, like the Terminator, but sometimes you get hit with some shit and you just want to march through. But, especially the last two, man. The first, when I landed that elbow, he landed a right hand that broke my nose, Jeremy. So, and then in the turnaround fight, 2 months later, we had a train with that, like, Mankind-looking mask on, the old wrestling mask with, like, the three holes. Oh, man, you think breathing through a pandemic mask is tough. Try putting on that thing for rounds, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so we just, trying to be ready for that. And he hit me with a good shot in the second round and kind of popped things back open. And, at that point, I try to just edge him out the next three rounds by staying nice and long and safe, and then trying to heal up the nose and then hope for a big moment opportunity coming up where I could just, go all in again with some time to heal up,
I got you.
Do you work with like VO2 masks and stuff like that? Because I mean, if you go back and watch like your Zabit fight, like the third round, your coaches are like, dude, we want to up the pace, like push it. And in the featherweight division, you guys are already pushing such a crazy pace the first two rounds to dig deep, which you did in that third round. You put on even a more of a crazy pace. If you have like a broken nose and stuff like that, like from a lung perspective, are you guys doing any type of training that's indifferent that helps you?
We're just constantly just pushing the envelope, man. I work with a good strength coach too that writes up a good program, definitely. And we get a lot of extra credit work, and being efficient with the movements always helps. This way you're not pouring out a lot of gas on your movements, being efficient and obviously technique conquers also just being skillful and not wasted movements. Breathing, doing all the right things, man, trying to stay loose. A lot of guys are so tense in there. If you see, a lot of times, trying to be as relaxed as possible and just, and being aware of what's going on, hyper-focused.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned Mankind. You're bringing my questions to me. Who's your favorite wrestler growing up?
Man, Mankind used to scare me because we used to like practice, my brother was 2 years older than me. All his buddies were big, right?
Right.
I was a young, I was like a smaller kid compared to all of them. We had a trampoline. They'd practice all like the WWE moves on me, the Razor Ramon. I'm surprised I didn't break my neck as a kid on the trampoline of my brother. But then they tried pulling that socko shit. My brother's socks are nasty. You better get away from me, man. Like that Mankind always kind of had that fear of me because my brother tried to, I was thinking, man, if this kid tries to think he's putting a sock in my mouth, I'm going to kill him. But my favorite wrestler was either Ultimate Warrior or you know, the classic Hulk Hogan. Him when Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior, you know, went off, man, that was like my highlight.
Yeah. Yeah, all your merch is Hulkamania-esque, right?
Yeah, kidding me. So I fought on September 11th, I believe 2000. I'm not sure the year, but I fought in September 11th. And we did, like, how do we kind of pay a tribute, you know? So we came out to I'm a Real American, right? I'm a Real American song.
Yeah, and then, we love that. Hulk Hogan song.
And we just figured we'd switch up and go with Catermania. And since then, we've kind of been running with it. And, yeah, we're having fun with it.
2009.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah,
that was my first title fight. It was called what is it? American Cage Fighting or something? No, how was it called? Whatever. Either way, I won a title. It was like a boxing title. It's an MMA. It's an MMA organization, but it was a boxing title. North Atlantic Boxing Commission. Kind of weird that I even have it, but.
Yeah, whatever. The belt's over there. It's like, fuck it.
American American Steel Cage Fighting.
Yes, ASE. American, such like, you know, American Steel Cage Fighting.
Right, they
came into town and they threw a couple of events. That was my first five-round fight. And, man, that belt felt heavy after. I was tired as shit.
Right. That's good. That's good. All right, man, we want to be respectful of your time. I appreciate you coming on. Gonna end this thing with some rapid fire questions real quick.
And all right, let's do it.
And if we don't agree, we're just gonna try to make you feel as silly as possible about your
all right. Fair enough. Now that I know where you guys live.
Hey, that's right. Listen, whenever, man. I'm trying to make that Nate Robinson sleep money, bro. Let's get a camera in.
I'm with it. Sign me up.
All right, man. So it's getting a little bit colder up north there. Are we wearing sneakers or are we wearing boots?
I'm really a sneakers guy 24/7, but if I mean when it's snowing, I gotta rock the boots.
You Timberlands?
Timberlands. I'm pretty sure I've had these same boots, man, for like 10 years. I only throw them on when it snows.
All right, man. Golly. All right.
How about The Departed or The Town? What's a better movie?
Oh man, that's a great question. Departed or The Town? Shit. Departed or The Town? That's a great question. Shit, I can't even pick one.
I know. See, Dale, I told him. My next question was going to be Ben Affleck or Matt Damon, dude.
I mean, they're kind of the same.
It's the same guy?
It's the same movie and the same guy.
Right. Same difference.
Yeah.
I went Departed. I'm not from Boston. You know, admittedly, I grew up outside the Pittsburgh area. But
I like how they went into Fenway, though, on The Town. You know, it's kind of cool to see through the ins and outs of behind Fenway. Pretty cool.
Gotcha.
All right, The Town.
All right. You're a guy that collects checks every time you fight, man. Are you about spending money or saving money?
I'd be lying if I said saving. But no, saving now. spending up until now, but saving now.
Okay. All right. What's the go-to meal to celebrate a victory?
My next check, too, real quick. Favorite meal? Chicken parm.
All right. And what are we drinking with the chicken parm?
Chicken parm. I just go water, man. But if it's, if you know, if I'm at the Italian restaurant and if I want to have a drink, I'll probably either have a wine, a Cabernet with pasta, you know?
Oh, okay. Classy broad. All right. I like it.
Man. I mean, if I'm at an Italian restaurant now, if I'm at the steakhouse, that's different.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
This past weekend was the 35th anniversary of Rocky IV. Is Rocky IV the best of the Rockies?
I'd say it's in the lead.
It's in the lead. Drago.
Oh my gosh, I disagree wholeheartedly. Gosh, I disagree with this. I think the first one's the best one, but that's okay. All right.
That's usually the case.
Right. Yeah. I think the first, you know what, the one that I thought was really underrated was Rocky Balboa, like the sixth one or whatever, where it was just him coming back and fighting Antonio Tarver. I thought that one was very underrated.
My favorite Rocky movie is the next one.
Yes.
There's always another one, right?
That was deep.
She really went deep with that.
Yeah.
All right. If you could fight anyone, dead or alive, who are you fighting? And not Max Holloway.
Anybody dead or alive.
Dead or alive.
If they're alive, I'm not going to use that one because I could still have a chance to fight them. But if they were dead, who the hell am I going to fight? That's a good question, man. I don't know. I don't got – who am I going to fight? I don't know, man. I got no one. I'm only focused on Max Holloway.
All right, fair enough.
Else. Yeah, Max Holloway is all I can say.
All right, fair enough. Are you a board games guy or a card games guy?
I mean, I'm a board game guy, but no, I'm a card guy first.
Okay. When you play Monopoly, what piece are you using?
Is there a cash bag, right? I use usually the cash bag, I believe. Isn't there a money bag?
Oh, gosh, that might be a new one. I don't know if there is there a money bag, Trey?
I don't know. Yeah.
If there's a money bag.
I don't know.
If not, there was a car, right?
Yeah, the car. Yeah. I usually go with the iron.
I thought there was a money bag. The newer one had a money bag, I thought. Too old, man.
Yeah, well, thank you. Date me for sure. Yeah, I'm back when it was like wooden pieces is when I was playing. Yeah, thank you very much.
Oh, man.
All right. And then last but not least, Trey, unless you got something else.
Well, this one's, you know, Dunkin' or Starbucks, dude.
Dude, it's
Starbucks.
What?
I know.
You said that in Boston, dude. You're gonna get shot.
You know why? Because Dunkin' better step up and sponsor my ass then. So then I'm gonna spend $6 on a coffee.
Oh man! All right.
I got a question for you guys. What's your favorite thing from Stay Classy Meats? What's your favorite meat together?
All right, Trey, go ahead.
Dude, the sausages, man, they're so good. Like, I get the jalapeno cheddar one. That's totally what you want to hear in the middle of fight camp right now. Oh, so good.
I watch the Food Network. That's all I watch now.
Yeah. It's so good. Yeah.
So I get a little bit more creative with it. So I try to cook as much as I possibly can. So any of the ribeye steaks and then the pork chops as well. So the heritage pork chops that they have, the pork chops.
Yep, pork chops were so the best pork chops I ever had.
That's what I say all the time. Everybody see it. Here's the thing is we say this stuff on the show, like when we do our ad reads and people always think we're gassing it up. That's awesome. It's good.
My favorite's the bacon, but I'm excited to try the tomahawk steaks when they come in because those things look real good.
Tomahawks, man.
Forget about it.
We need like a picture of you holding it like an actual tomahawk.
Oh, you already know. I'm going to definitely do that. It's the first thing I'm going to do when it comes in.
Outstanding. Well, look, we'll let you get back to your massage, Calvin. Thank you so much for coming on the show, man. It's been great talking to you. And we'll get with Tyson. We're probably going to send some swag your way too, man. So
it, man. We'll have to set this up another time. Good talking to
you. No, let's set it up exactly like this. Massage chair Tuesdays, man.
I'm with it.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Absolutely. Mind boggled on the Starbucks thing. Threw me for a loop, dude.
I didn't even know how to respond to that, man. I don't even know what to do with that. No, all right.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Let's see here. Did we pay any other bills? Did we pay anything?
We gotta get some bet online here.
Yeah, we gotta do the bet online read. So yeah, guys, with football in full effect, on top of all the lines that we're using tonight, go to bet online, use promo code armchair. You can take advantage of all the great sign up bonuses. Again, go to BetOnline. That's where we're getting all of our lines from tonight. And then you can take advantage of the great sign-up bonuses there as well. They have live wagering for fights as well as football and everything else in between. So go to BetOnline. Use promo code armchair. All right. Outstanding. Trey.
So last week, bit of a skeleton card, am I right? I mean,
It fell apart. It didn't go the way we wanted to. It is what it is. I don't really know what to do about it. So, but this week. This card promises to be a lot better. It's going to be better. It's going to be better. Admittedly, with this card looking at it, you're probably going to need to refill your drink because I'm not sure that you're going to be able to handle 90% of the names on this card. So I'm just letting you know now that I'm setting you up for failure on a lot of these. What can you do?
Good thing I went with whiskey. That was the smart play.
That's the smart play. I went with water tonight. Like I said, I need to cut back on the alcohol just a touch. Been drinking a lot of beer lately, so
there's a guilt trip. No, thank you.
I have to look out for me, right? There's a lot in this house that depends on me, so I have to look out for number one.
Bro, I have two kids and a wife. You're right, dude. I got nothing.
If you want to be selfish, you be selfish. I am going to put other people first. So all be right. selfish.
All right. Well, I'm gonna be selfish for a minute. I'm gonna make everyone here some money. Let's get into these plays so I can provide for the family.
Okay. First fight on the main card. Would you like to lead off and who's fighting?
Oh gosh, dude. I'll take a drink. You can go ahead there, sir.
Damn it. I had to adjust the old headphones there. You want me to lead off here? Nate
go Land, ahead.
Nate Land, we're plus 400 taking on Mobstar. I believe it's Evloyev. Oh boy, this one's bad for me. Mobstar Evloyev. I think it's Evloyev. It's like there's like a hyphen sort of thing in the middle there.
Okay.
Not a hyphen, but there's like a pause. Yeah. When he says his name, there's like a pause in it.
I'm just going to call him the Russian.
The Russian versus the Tennessee kid. You know, we got a default Russian guy taking on the backcountry hauler in Tennessee, Nate Landwehr. Minus 600, plus 400, over-under around is 2.5. I think this line's pretty steep, to be honest with you. I'm not really crazy about the minus 600 or the plus 400 here. I think we should be around a minus 250, plus 185 situation here. Over-under around is at 2.5. I get that. Both these dudes are incredibly durable. I still like Movzar in this fight. My only concern with him is he has a giraffe level neck. His neck is long, my man. So that being said, you know, I do worry about if he's rushing in and attempting a sloppy takedown, that neck is there for the snagging. However, I do like him to get it done against Nate Landwehr. Nate Landwehr, in my opinion, lost this fight against Darren Elkins.
Yeah.
But that's just me. I thought that the grandstanding and the showboating is what got him the win in the judges' eyes. Be that as it may, I really like the idea of Movzar Evloyev, or however you want to say his name here. I'm butchering it too. Getting the win over Nate Landwehr. And I think he'll get it done in decision. I don't see him finishing yet. I just see this a wrestle death. But I'm looking at Movzar in a parlay piece for sure.
Yeah. Nate the Train, the guy is the quintessential regional fighter. He's the guy that's overtly aggressive. He's mouthy to a fault. And when you fight people like Darren Elkins, which you and I both scored for Elkins, you're obviously playing to a judge's fantasy. You're getting a guy that's got scar tissue up the yin yang. Literally, you brush Elkins' face and he's spewing blood everywhere. You got a guy that's mouthy and you got a guy that's overtly aggressive. You want to talk about octagon control, all that crap from the eyes of the fans or the judges, that makes you, you know, get to that decision win. When you look at Evloyev, I'm going to say the Russian, that guy, he's also aggressive, but he's got a really good ground game, which I really like. Again, in the smaller cages, ground game fares really well. I think that it's going to be an aggressive fight. I don't believe Evloyev has actually finished a fight. I think he's won via decision a majority, and I could be wrong on that. I know his fights tend to go over. He's going to be a little bit more methodical. He's going to be able to pick and choose his shots versus Nate Landwehr is going to play to the pace of his opponent. He always does that, but again, gets mouthy and gets aggressive, which gets him the points. I'm going with Evloyev on this fight 1,000%. He is a great parlay piece.
Okay, yeah. He doesn't have a finish in the UFC, but he does have finishes outside the UFC.
Okay, that's it.
I didn't want to be like Mr. Immediate Fact Check, but I wanted to clarify what we were talking about here.
Yeah.
All right, next fight of the card. Excuse me. Golly, man, I don't think I got the Rona, but I got a little something going on here. All right, John Allen taking on Rona. Do this one, too. Give me this one.
Oh, dude, this is kind of like Chicken Days, but I'm going Roman Dola Days.
Okay, that's fine. All right, John Allen plus 160. We'll take Roman Dola. I'll go with Dola Days. We'll do that. Minus 195 over-under on rounds here is at 1.5, Trey. Look, man, this is going to be an interesting fight for as long as it lasts. I definitely do not think this one we're not going to need the judges for this. Roman's at 7-0. John Allen is at 13-5. These dudes are coming in with bad intentions. Does the O go, though, on Saturday night? Does John Allen pull the upset here at a plus 160 dog? And does he get Roman out of there? Admittedly, up until he won his last fight, like up until the knockout, I was not overwhelmingly impressed with what Roman Doledays was showing us in the octagon. And then immediately, you know, obviously he got a knockout. It was a highlight knockout, but he did not, I don't know if it was first fight jitters or what the deal was, but he did not, I wasn't particularly blown away with what he was doing.
No, absolutely not. This is, people forget both these guys got popped for hormones. So you got the hormone monsters coming into this fight here. You got Doledays, who was banned for a year from USADA. You've got Art, who was I'm going to say Art, dude. John Allen.
Oh, okay.
John Allen Art.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, he had his last fight overturned because of the same type of hormonal, you know, substances that he put in his body. Doldes is a guy that people think, oh, he's an aggressive striker because he kind of bull rushes you and rushes across the octagon to, you know, implore strikes. No, the guy is all about takedowns. And that's the thing is when you go back to John Allen's fight, I don't think it was last fight, maybe the fight before when he fought Mike Rodriguez. Mike Rodriguez was taking him down like crazy with complete ease. Do I think Mike Rodriguez has the same takedown advantage that Roman has? Absolutely not. Roman's got great takedown. He is a sneaky submission artist. I see him getting a submission in this. I'm going to take Doldes. I'm actually going to take him in by submission. Ooh, I love this all day long. I know. I'm getting really pinpoint on this.
Say, what's the market for that? Do you know?
Delicious.
No. So you're taking Doldes by submission is what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. Boy, is that a – huh. That's not where I would have played that fight. I'm interested –
That's the thing is everyone's jaded by his striking, but you go back and watch actually his takedowns. He's swift, his ground impact, and he can find rear naked chokes. He can find arms. The guy's slick. He's got a great BJJ background. This thing's going to end up on the ground 100%. This isn't going to be standing TKO. This will be done on the ground.
Okay. So Roman by submission in round one is at a plus 1,100. In round two is at a plus 1,800. And in round three is at a plus 2,500 for submission. Oh my God, that's so juicy. So
sprinkle
small sprinkles on all three rounds, hoping to return. Okay.
Well, I mean, put some jimmies on it.
That's don't you dare call them jimmies in here. I would start a new podcast with somebody else that doesn't call them jimmies. That
is a couple jimmies.
That is unacceptable. All right. Montana De La Rosa is taking on Talia Santos. De La Rosa plus 170. Santos is at minus 210. Over-under on rounds here, Trey, is at 2.5. This is a fight that you and I spent quite a bit of time talking about prior to recording. Obviously, Talia Santos is getting a lot of love coming off the Molly McCann fight. Montana De La Rosa, I don't want to say she's being disrespected at the plus 170, but I feel like this line is probably going to get a little bit tighter than it actually is. Montana De La Rosa, despite having, you know, alternating wins and losses here, she has looked better each in every fight, I think. She has shown me something in each and every fight that I continue to think that she's getting just a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. My opinion, although I think she's got a tall task ahead of her in Talia Santos, if I'm being completely honest with you here. Don't necessarily know that I love it at the minus 210 line, but man, Santos is, you know, this is a tough matchup for her.
I know. I've gone back and forth on this a couple times. So Montana De La Rosa, she's the type of girl, she's very vanilla. She's just good at everything, mm-hmm. but she's not great at anything. And she fares, wow, that's a nice background you have there. She doesn't fare well with people that have exponentially better facets. And what I mean by that is you look at the Mackenzie Dearns, you look at the Cynthia Calvillos. When you have that dominant BJJ or that dominant wrestling, she doesn't fare well. Yes, she has okay wrestling, okay striking, but when she strikes someone like Andrea Lee, she gets pieced up because Andrea Lee's striking is much better than Montana De La Rosa.
You're killing me.
That's true. Andrea. God, dude.
The difference is California and people name their people Andrea out there. In real world, it's Andrea.
In the real world?
The real world. With people that look like me, it's Andrea. People that look like you out there with palm trees behind them, it's Andrea. But in the real world with us, right?
Yeah.
It's Andrea. Andrea.
Okay. Andrea Lee.
There we go.
Has greater striking than Montana De La Rosa. And we saw Andrea expose that in the Montana De La Rosa fight. All I'm saying is I don't look at Santos as having that much better facet in her game. I don't. I think this is going to be a decision fight for sure. I'm actually now leaning more towards Montana De La Rosa because I do think her wrestling is going to be a little bit better than Santos. I think it's going to be a boring, long, drawn-out fight. But like you said, Montana De La Rosa has looked much better in each of her past fights.
The aggression of Santos is what worries me.
Right.
Very rarely do we see women that are constantly walking forward, constantly looking to engage. It's a level of aggression not normally seen outside of a select few in women's MMA. And Talia Santos is incredibly aggressive.
Right.
Which to me could very well be an X factor in this fight. But anyway, here we go. I saw the thing about Newsom. That's hilarious. Co-main event of the evening, Jamal Hill, Ovin St. Preux. boy, oh boy, oh boy. You know how I feel about this fight. Jamal Hill minus 165. Ovin St. Preux plus 135. Over under on rounds at 1.5. They continue to disrespect my boy OSP, man. They continue. No, my man gets no respect. A veteran of the game. Well, he gets no respect here against a guy like Jamal Hill. Who is Jamal Hill? Who is Jamal Hill? Tell me that.
No, let me tell you who OSP is.
Okay.
You know, when you climb quite literally, you know, the prospect ladder that Jamal Hill's on, at the top of that ladder, before you get to hang out at the party, sit out with all the ladies at the UFC club, you got to go through someone called a gatekeeper. Mm. And in front of that pearly, glitterly gold gate is a pearly white OSP saying, beat me and you can enter the club. And that's what you got. OSP is in no way, shape, or form close to a title fight. He's no way, shape, or form looking to be taken out of the UFC, much like we've seen with other vet fighters. This is a big stepping stone for Jamal Hill, and someone in Jamal Hill that was on Dana White's Contender Series and came into it extremely successful, extremely devastating, extremely flashy. This is a great stepping stone for him to see where he stacks up. But OSP, I don't think he really knows where he feels comfortable. Did the heavyweight thing for a second, dropped down to 205. Now he feels like he's back at 205. He needs to find some comfortability. I will say in his last 205 fight, we saw someone back to where he should be in that 205 division. I hope that, you know, he's stayed with her in that weight. I like OSP in this fight.
I like OSP in this fight for, I mean, some of the reasons you said, but mostly just because of the fact he's got experience. We have seen more in 2020 than I think any other time. The currency of the UFC, the currency of mixed martial arts is experience. That's what pays the bills. That's what gets you to the next level. It's experience. And OSP has that in spades. Jamal Hill does not. He is not going to come out there and shock the world and beat Ovin St. Preux. He's just not ready for it yet. I agree with you that Ovin St. Preux is a gatekeeper, but he knows that. He knows that. OSP is the most secure. There's only a few men and women in the UFC that their job is more secure than OSP. OSP is not getting cut ever. No. He's never going to get cut. He'll never be elected to the Hall of Fame. But OSP, I think he's got 23, 24 fights in the UFC. He's not going anywhere. And he could fight for the next 5 years, 10 years and lose and still keep his job because 205 is shallow and he's competitive and he has the ability to give different looks to different prospects or people on the rise or the fall. OSP is probably the most job secure dude in the UFC. If he gets cut or leaves, it's because he wants to. And I'm telling you right now, he's looking at a guy like Jamal Hill and going, you were not going to make your name off of me. I really like OSP in this fight. And I like the over 1.5 here too, because OSP is not playing that stuff. And if Jamal Hill gets the better of him on the standing up, what's he going to do? He's going to push him up against the cage. He's going to take him down and he's going to choke him out. Mm-hmm. I don't see where Jamal Hill wins this fight outside of just starching OSP. And tell me the last time that happened.
It doesn't happen, but if he does get starched, everyone's scared of OSP's counter left hook, which, you know, comes back. And when that thing lands, it lands. So Jamal Hill can come with all the aggression he wants, but what is OSP known for outside of his Von Flue choke is that counter left. That counter left hurts, it's devastating, and it throws you completely off your rhythm. So to your point, I think he's going to welcome the aggression to a certain point. Completely different in the Ben Rothwell fight, by the way. He did not want to welcome that aggression because Ben Rothwell will actually freaking murder you. That's why he ran around the cage like a scared chicken the entire time. But with Jamal Hill, he'll invite it.
Yeah, but he did engage Rothwell and had Rothwell hurt in that fight too. The last time that OSP was finished by strikes was 2016 against Jimmy Manoa. I don't think Jamal Hill and Jimmy Manoa are on the same level. I don't want to camp on this fight for forever. I like OSP. I like the over 1.5 too. I'm probably going to play that. All right, main event of the evening, and then we're going to talk about Jake's new endeavor. Jake's got quite the target list. We're going to bring him in here and talk to him about it. All right, Jack Hermanson plus 110 versus Marvin Vettori minus 140. Over under on round here, Trey, is at 2.5. This fight is a trap, and I'm going to tell you why. Vegas knows something we don't know. They know something we don't know because for all intents and purposes, a guy with the strength of schedule of Jack Hermanson, the guy with the talent and skill set of Jack Hermanson, on paper, should be a favorite against Marvin Vettori. And they opened this fight up as Marvin Vettori being a favorite, and it's gotten a little bit tighter, and it may flip-flop come fight night. But as it stands right now, this feels like a trap. Somebody knows something that we don't know.
No, we know.
No, we don't know. I've been thinking about this fight for the better half of like 3 days now and watching old fights. I initially was like, Jack Hermanson, this isn't even a question. I don't understand that Vegas is stupid. They don't know what they're talking about. We know fights. Jack Hermanson at an underdog, sure, against an untested Marvin Vettori.
Yeah.
This is a trap. I don't know what I listen. It doesn't smell good. I don't like this. I don't like this fight. I'm leaning towards not touching it.
You don't like it because it's a stay busy fight for Jack Hermanson.
It is a stay busy fight for him. But here's the thing, dude, is that I just think, man, that there's something going on here. There's something going on here. I'm telling you, this might be a leave it alone for me.
No, it's not. And the reason there's one thing to take a stay busy fight. You and I both cannot stand fighters that take a stay busy fight. Now, if everyone's aware, Jack Hermanson, this is his third opponent that has come in the past couple weeks. First, he was supposed to take Darren Till, didn't get that fight. Kevin Holland, gets COVID, can't fight him. So now this is the third fighter. Why is he taking this fight? There's no reason. Why would you want to take a short notice fight against someone who's overtly emotional, overtly physical? We all know Marvin Vettori, what he's good at. He's good at making things dirty, bull rushing across the cage, working in the clinch. He has great wrestling. So Jack Hermanson, as much as people want to see him by sub, see him use his 77 and a half reach to get a guillotine or whatever he wants, that could be negated by someone who has great takedown defense and who wants to make things dirty, slice and dice in the clinch. This is a horrible, horrible fight for Jack Hermanson for a multitude of reasons. The reason that everyone wants to put everything in the weight of Jack Hermanson, though, is again his reach, what he does with his jab, what he did to Jacare Souza, keeping him, not allowing Marvin Vettori to get inside and close where Marvin Vettori does his work. Dude, I like Vettori in this fight, man. I know you don't want to hear that, but I like this for him.
Then play it. You can play
He's
it.
Only just remember, Vettori was supposed to fight on the 19th. Of December. He was supposed to fight on the same card, I think, as Rob Font, that card. But so he's only sacrificing a week. He's had a full training camp. So while this is a stay busy fight, he's had a full camp less 1 week. He's ready to go.
Right. Yeah. I'm not negating. That's what I'm saying. This feels like a trap. It feels like a trap. Somebody knows something we don't know. The line's too tight. It's too tight. If it's such a mismatch, if it's such a bad matchup for Hermanson, the line should be bigger. And if it's not, and Hermanson should win this fight easily, why is the line not the other way around? Somebody knows something that you don't know. Somebody knows something you don't know. Over two and a half, maybe. Maybe over 2.5. My problem is Hermanson comes out there and he pulls a Kelvin Gastelum and grabs Vittori's heel and rips it off in the first 90 seconds like he did Kelvin. That's a problem. That's something that we now know that he can do. And against the guy that stands flat-footed, like Marvin Vettori, who's not on his toes, because he's stalking, and because it's a smaller cage. We have seen that the smaller cage in the apex has favored the grappler. It has favored the clinch guy, and that with a fight like this, you know, it's crazy, dude. I just, you know, it is what it is. I see the comments that Hermanson opened up as a favorite. It when the fight was first announced, he was a favorite, but by the time it hit the Bet Online book, it was flipped the other way around. So I didn't even get a chance to play it as a favorite. It literally was flipped by the time I got it I saw it on Bet Online. I did see Hermanson as a favorite, but it wasn't on any book that I could openly quote or play on. So I see what you're saying. It feels like a trap. I don't want to play it just yet. Maybe after weigh-ins, I'll play it. All right, Jake, get in here. Let's talk about this for a second.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
All right, man. So as we talked about last week, dude, here's the thing, right? We're implementing a new segment called Only a Fan, starring producer Jake. Right? Now, you and I have briefly talked about this, so you're not coming into this completely in the dark, but you're primarily in the dark here.
Yeah.
The idea of this, Jake, is that we would like to grow this channel as much as we possibly can. And in doing so, you know, obviously getting guys like Calvin to come on the show is imperative. But when Trey and I did a deep dive into our numbers, and we saw that when we have shows that are associated with female fighters, our numbers are better. Now, that being said, there has been an uptick recently in this new app or web application, to sound like an old man, called OnlyFans, which you are familiar with, correct?
There is this thing on the internet, Jake.
I see them advertised all over. So, yeah.
Correct. So Everyone, this is right. So there are female fighters that have made OnlyFans accounts, and at which point you can interact with them on OnlyFans. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, under the guise of anonymity, we would like you to go on and pose as only a fan, respectfully.
Yeah, respectfully. Is that a thing?
Yes.
With Paige Van Zandt, she
No, not yet. No. So we would like you to go on and pose as only a fan and use your clout as the producer of the show to contact them to see if you can't get some of these fighters to come on our show. Because our traditional means of reaching out to them via Twitter, Instagram, and management has failed us. We have not been able to be successful. That being said, Trey and I have no desire to do to make OnlyFans accounts and pursue them in that manner. But you, my friend, as the producer of the show, I think that this is a job that you are well equipped for.
I mean, I'll do what I have to.
Thank you, sir. We do have a target. We put a poll up on our Instagram, and we have a target list for you if you would like to take note of this target list.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me know when you're ready.
Oh, like literally right now.
Oh, we're gonna tell you who your target list is right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's part of the live show, is that we want to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. I'm ready.
All right. Number one was Beck Rawlings.
Rawlings.
Why is that on the list?
Again, I'm just going by what the people asked for, man.
I know. Let's block the person that asked that.
Yeah.
We're going to block that person.
Okay. Second one was Ariani.
That's fair.
All right.
Felice Herrig.
Mm. Okay.
Herrig. I'm going to need you to text me these because I'm trained right now. I guarantee you my spelling is nowhere right.
You'll be fine. Okay. You'll be fine.
Disappointed in our listeners list so far, but keep going.
And then the last one was Hannah Goldie.
That's fine.
So I feel like four is a good place for you to start.
All right. And I'm just still trying to understand. Like, so you can just message people on that thing?
From what I understand, they say
Jake, if you have to take your shirt off, bro, you gotta take your shirt off. I'm not gonna say it again. Like,
okay, so I get you guys are married, so you can't be a part of it.
Correct.
Okay, fuck it.
I can just mess.
From what I just want to know,
am I just going to?
From what I understand, listen.
Here's $10.
So here's what we're going to do.
Come on my podcast.
We need you to make an account, right? And it's a subscription. Okay, so we're going to have you make an account, find out who has the most reasonably priced subscription. We will give you a week stipend. And then during that week, we want you to try to engage them in a conversation to see if you can't convince them to come on the show. If you're not successful and it's not going to work, it's not going to work. We're not going to continue to beat our heads against the wall. However, we're trying to get creative and we're trying to create content at the same time. We feel like this is a good place to start.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We'll do so under the idea of anonymity. So we won't say who you're talking to. But we will ask that you share the conversation with us so that way we can share it with the fans.
Yeah.
All right. So you want me to look these people up on there?
I would prefer if you did that. Yes. All right. Wait till after the show, but yes, if you could.
You don't say.
Yeah. And then give us a price list as to what it's going to be. And I'm going to tell you right now, if it comes back to these people are like more than like $10, I'm not doing any of it. And we'll just cancel this whole bit because I don't have the budget for it and I don't care.
But that Jake, you got to go in and you got to woo these people.
Do woo.
Yeah. I don't think that's how these sites work.
Well, you're going to find out where you're going to learn and then you're going to tell us how it's working. So if you can't do it, you can't do it. It's fine. But you know, there is a little bit of pressure, but there's not a lot of pressure, but there's some.
Ton of pressure.
Yeah.
I'll give you my best.
All right, Jake. Appreciate you, man. Let's break down this prelim card. Things moving right along here. We're at over an hour now.
It's actually a perfect transition. Jake can also utilize, or anyone can utilize if they're going to go on OnlyFans or they just need to be an OnlyFan themselves in life. Go to manscaped.com. Type in the code armchair. You're going to get 20% off and free shipping. Guys, you can't just be showing up on Manscaped with a shirt on and know that under your shirt, you've got a bear full of brown sugar. You can't have that. Oh. The best way to do that, get rid of it, Lawnmower 3.0. Go to manscaped.com. That thing's got so many RPMs, you can wipe that shit right off. Go on OnlyFans. All the ladies will come. Manscaped.com. Type in the code armchair. You're going to get 20% off and free shipping.
I absolutely refuse to shave my chest. I'm not doing that.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't do that either.
Oh, my goodness. I would like to. I would do it if I started getting the tuft over the top. Like that, you get the top tuft or the top tuft.
That's, yeah,
That's not my favorite. All right, first fight on the main or on the prelims. Jose Quinones is at 8-4. Luis Smolka at 16-7. Quinones is at +105. Smolka -135. Over under on rounds here, Trey, is 2.5. If Smolka can make the weight, I think it's his fight to lose. He just got to make the weight first. If he can make the weight, he should beat Jose. It's that easy. He's got to beat him first, or he's got to make the weight. He's got to beat the scale, and then he can win the fight.
Why is he struggling to make weight, though? This is a guy that used to make flyweight, and now he's struggling to make bantamweight. Like, what happened?
He's a Hawaiian. I know you like your Hawaii boys, but those dudes are thick, man, and they like food.
Yeah, I know. I know that spam and rice can get you, but, you know, hopefully he's on weight. You know, this fight was supposed to take place a couple weeks ago at UFC Vegas 14. Fell apart. Smolka, he's a smaller bantamweight, though, which makes me a little bit worried about this. Smolka's going to come in quick. Quinones, to your point, doesn't have the greatest defense, though. I do think Smolka, with the long reach he's going to have, being a smaller person, he still has a good reach. He should be able to pick Quinones apart, at least get the decision win on this. Smart at Vegas putting this thing at 2.5.
Yeah, I need Smolka to – if Smolka makes the weight, I play Smolka. If Smolka misses weight, I consider a no play. Is how I'm looking at this. All right, Gabriel Benitez at 21-8, Justin James at 16-5. Gabriel Benitez at -220, Justin James is at a +180. Don't necessarily know if I agree with that line, but yeah, Justin James, you know, despite the faulty spelling on the ticker there, I think I think this fight's a little bit closer. One of these guys is going to sleep. I play under 2.5 here. This is what I'm looking for, under 2.5. This fight does not go – the judges are not involved here. It's not going to happen.
No,
James doesn't have the gas tank for it, and Benitez is going to try to finish him. Under 2.5. I'm taking under 2.5. That's my play for this one.
Benitez is one of those, like, gritty Mexicans that can, you know, fight or flight, kind of die on your shield to a certain point. He hasn't won a fight, though, since 2018. So he's going to come in and try and make a statement. To your point, Justin James is not going to have the gas tank. I like the under 2.5 on that as well.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Next fight on the prelims, Damon Jackson taking on Ilia Topuria. My pick for fight of the night. My pick for fight of the night. Damon Jackson at +205. Topuria -245. Over under on rounds here is at 2.5. Boy, oh boy, I like Topuria in his last fight. I don't feel I'm not as high on him this fight as I was last fight. But man, I'll tell you what, dude, I really like Ilia Topuria. I think he's a contender. In the making, undefeated. The O, in my opinion, is probably not going to go on Saturday night. Be looking at him in a parlay piece at -245. Not much more out of that. I think the BJJ for both these guys is going to cancel out.
Yeah.
The power, I think, resides in Topuria, but I don't necessarily know we see the fight stay there that long. I'm looking for a Gregor Gillespie style mauling, just takedown, mat return,
yeah,
and attempted submissions here, much like we saw him do against Yusuf Zalal. Damon Jackson better come with his cardio on point, because he's going to be fighting hard for 15 minutes. Don't love the over under at 2.5, but I do like Topuria and looking at him as a parlay piece.
Yeah. Your point, the takedown, back up, that wearing style is going to be troubles for Damon Jackson. A lot of people, I think that line is actually pretty fair. I actually thought it would be a little closer just because people were going to put weight in Damon Jackson being able to submit Mirsad Bektik. But like you and I talked about, he was getting pieced up by Mirsad Bektik the entire fight till he landed that, what was it, a slick? It was like a rear naked choke or something like that on the ground, or head and arm shook. Can't remember what it was, but when you take down a name like that, obviously the line gets a little bit closer, but you know, he was getting pieced up that entire fight. If that thing went to the decision, it would have been, you know, 30-26 all the way around. Like, it was just insane.
It was a guillotine.
Okay. Yeah. Topuria is going to wear on you. That's a horrible, exhausting style. I also do think he's extremely aggressive. And to your point, the BJJ is going to cancel out.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. All right. Next fight. Gosh, I'm trying to shake this thing, man. Trying to. Cody Durden taking on Jimmy Flick. Jimmy Flick -170. Cody Durden at +140. Over under on rounds here is at 1.5. If you're betting Cody Durden, bet him in the first round. It's the only way he's winning the fight. He's got a round to get it done. Jimmy Flick is going to outlast him. I'm telling you, this will be a who can last longer. And I think Jimmy Flick gets it done, man. I really do. -170. I like the kid. I think he's got potential.
Jimmy Flick's got that body style. It kind of looks like we talk about Team Alpha Male guys. He looks kind of like Chris Holdsworth. He's kind of got that young boyish body style, but you know he's got cardio for days, while Cody Durden's going to come in way bigger. So to your point, Cody Durden has one option and one option only, and that is to exhaust him in the first round and come in super aggressive. I'm going to actually sprinkle a little bit on Cody Durden to get TKO in the first round. Outside of that, Jimmy Flick, to your point, should get this done. He's got much slicker submissions on the ground. He's way more well-rounded. But Cody Durden has the aggression. He's going to come in the heavier guy, and that first round looks enticing.
Jimmy Flick has fought 3 times this year. Mm-hmm. So, and everything that's going on in 2020, Jimmy Flick has somehow managed to fight 3 times. Obviously, we know the most recent one on Contender Series, but outside of that, he's had 2 fights this year. So you're talking about a guy that's fought 3 times this year. This will be number 4, wrapping up the year strong. My man's in fight shape. He's in his groove. He's feeling himself. Again, Cody Durden's got a round. Outside of that, I think Jimmy Flick just does what he does best, man, and gets it done. So, yeah. My opinion. So, all right. Let's see here. Last, we got one more, I think.
We got two more. Yeah. This one actually pulls the heartstrings a little bit.
Not at all. Jordan Levitt -390 against Matt Wyman +310. Over under rounds on 2.5. Hats off to Matt Wyman for wanting to stay creative and stay in the game, but he's going to end up like my man behind me here. Jordan Levitt is piecing this dude up. Parlay piece with him, Evliov, and who else am I thinking as a parlay piece here? I don't know. We'll put it together, though. Yeah, I'm taking Levitt -390. I mean, you're really going to pick Matt Wyman at +310? Really?
No, it's just okay. A guy that's got 18 fights to his name, some fighting for 15 years. It's a soft spot, man.
This only soft spot's on his skull from getting hit so much.
Hey, you look at the resume this guy's had. Okay. Now, granted, you got to go back to 2014 to get his last win, which was against what was the guy? Isaac Valley Flag. Who?
Isaac Valley Flag. He's a beast, dude. Isaac Valley Flag got a Jackson Wink, freaking bare knuckle. I don't want to call him a bare knuckle legend. That'd be a bit much. But Ike Valley Flag is a blood and guts warrior. Don't take anything away from Ike Valley Flag.
Okay.
For real. That's a bad mamma jamma right there.
Okay. Well, he's lost to Joe Selecki, Luis Pena, Dennis Seaver. Like, dude, he has losses. His whole resume is chock full of losses that are in association to names that people may know. he beat or lost to the biggest fucking traitor in the entire UFC, Justin Buckles. I can't remember, but he did fight Justin Buckles one time.
He beat Justin Buckles. Beat?
Good. Okay. Just another reason.
Gosh, I'm really fired up about that.
Love it though, guys. You know, you saw him on Dana White Contender Series. The guy's a unique beast. He's a really, really smart fighter. He touts himself as a guy that's reads 100 books a year. He's a barefoot runner, all this bullshit, whatever. He will come in and pick his shots. His shots, though, are going to be way more on point. He's going to be way more athletically gifted in there, better footwork. Matt Wyman's on the decline. That's why he hasn't, you know, won a fight since 2014. The swing's pretty over and done.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Featured prelim. Regular Jake Collier at 11-5 taking on John Vellante. Here's the problem, right?
John Vellante is just as fat. I don't know.
I understand what you're that. But here's the thing is body shaming people is your deal. That's not mine. But I have somehow come up with this this idea that anytime I say Jake Collier, I have to say fat Jake Collier. And that's just not fair. That's not fair to Jake Collier. I don't know why he went from, you know, welterweight all the way up to heavyweight or whatever it is that he's doing along the way, middleweight to heavyweight. But that's where he's at now. That's where life has taken him. That's where his journey has brought him. He's fighting at heavyweight now, plus 160, taking on John Volante, minus 200, over on our odds at 1.5. I will never bet on fat Jake Collier. I mean, regular Jake Collier. I will never bet on him. I'm going to take John Volante in this fight. And that pains me because I don't like betting on John Volante either. But if you're asking me to pick a winner and a loser here, we're all losing. But John Volante will win a fight on Saturday night.
Couple things here. John Volante just needs to get back down to 205.
He's married. He's got a kid though now. So I get that.
That or he saw Thanksgiving and Christmas and just said, fuck it, dude. I'm not cutting.
Again, because he's married and has kids now. What are you not going to have Thanksgiving with, like, your family? Like, you're going to let the kids eat mashed potatoes, but you're not going to eat any? You're going to eat some mashed potatoes.
Okay, well, let's look at this for a second. John Volante debuted against the crotchet boss, right?
Mm.
And Maurice Greene looked absolutely atrocious.
He did not look great. No. He almost won the fight.
Do you think that Maurice Greene is better or worse than Tom Aspinall?
Wait, do I think Maurice Greene is better than Tom Aspinall?
Yeah.
I think Aspinall's better.
I do too.
Okay, what's the point?
The point is Jake Collier lost to Tom Aspinall. So if I'm going to go in strength of schedule in association to what we're looking at, I'm going to go with the person that lost to the better person.
So you're taking Jake Collier against John Volante?
John Volante looked so bad.
I want you to say it out loud. Use your words and tell me out loud in the English language that you're taking Jake Collier at heavyweight.
I'm not. I'm taking John
Volante. That's what I thought. John Volante minus 200. All right, guys. Listen, if you're interested in any of the lines we're talking about, you want to take advantage of some great sign-up deals, go to betonline.ag. Just go to BetOnline. Use code armchair, and you can take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Shout out to Stay Classy Meats. They made the interview with Calvin Kattar possible. Make sure you go to Stay Classy Meats. Use promo code FIST. Save 10% on your entire order. If you like our hat or my hat, you like Trey's hat, you like any of the fancy duds we wear on the show, go to allegianceclothing.com. Use code PUNCH and save 10%. Allegiance Clothing is doing 5 days of giveaways starting today. Where if you go on their Instagram, like the post, and tag two people in it, you have the opportunity to win 7 shirts from their store and one of every sticker they've ever made. And they're doing a giveaway like this for the next 5 days. So if you like giveaways, and we love to give stuff away here, go to Allegiance Clothing on Instagram. Make sure you submit to the contest there and be sure to like, subscribe, share this show with anybody possible because it pays to listen to our show. Our comment section has people in it right now. I've seen your username that have won products in money, real cash money from listening and watching this show. So shout out to everybody that continues to support the show. The best way to support the show is by visiting our sponsors, letting them know that you got there from us using our promo codes and taking advantage of the great things they offer. We're not just hawking garbage here. We're bringing you quality products and hopefully you take some of that away from it. Trey, you got anything else to add to the people before we wrap this thing up?
I don't. Everyone like, share, subscribe if you can. Punchless MMA on all social channels. Obviously, we're most active on Fight Night and Fight Day on Instagram, so please reach out to us there. Guys, share it with a friend. Literally, just shoot them a message. Be like, guys, check these guys out. Obviously, the more listeners we have, the more opportunities and the more people that we can chat with and expand this podcast. So appreciate all the support. Punchless MMA, again, on all social channels.
I'm checking the iTunes reviews real quick. All right, cool. All right, everything's up to date. We have gone 2 weeks now, 2 weeks without beer money being collected. So will week three be the week in which it happens? You ready?
I'm ready, dude. All right. Pirate music. Pirate put it on deck.
All right, here we go. Give me 1 second here. Bum, bum,
bum. Man, 2 weeks with no beer money. This next person's going to be able to get...
You know what's really weird, though, is the guy that won the beer money last week has commented on some of our posts this week. He obviously hasn't listened to last week's episode yet.
That's not good.
So well, if he listens to this one, he's going to be really upset.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Oh, boy. Here comes the pirate music.
Yeah. All right. Are we ready?
Do it.
Cool. J. Aaron Powers. J. Aaron Powers.
Aaron Powers.
That's it. All right. So if that's your iTunes or Instagram handle, reach out to us and get that money, man. Get that money. All right. Let me stop sharing my screen here. Perfect. All right, Trey, that's all I got, dude. I think I'm froze up. I'm not frozen. There we go. Now we're back. Sorry. There's a lot going on the side of the production side. All right. Appreciate everybody that listened to the show. Appreciate everybody that supports the show. Shout out to the New England Cartel, Tyson Chartier, Rob Font, and Calvin Cater. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate everybody supporting the show and checking out our sponsors. Shout out to Stay Classy Meats and Allegiance. Be good to each other. Talk to you guys on Saturday for Fight Night. Take care.
Boom. Oh.